obviously, as you mentioned, Three Mile Bridge is very problematic. Now, those barges, there's going to be investigation into that because people knew that was a risk. People learned that from Ivan, mm-hmm. and that wasn't handled the way it needed to by, I believe, some private companies.
That was Governor DeSantis. We just got done talking to him about a half an hour ago, and he has some, as a lawyer, okay, an understanding of liability, and his statement that really Skanska should have prepared better for this storm based on the, even though it was shifting information, still, they should have had those barges better secured and not have them bump into the bridge like it looks like happened. The bridge it's now going to be out for, well, who knows how long, quite frankly. Joining us now, we have Janice Gilley, the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, who has been getting, I think, normally her job involves high stress, no sleep, and great frustration and anxiety. And then on top of that, you get coronavirus and you get a hurricane. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. You sound great. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, well, you're so sweet. That's kind of what we're here to try to do. Even though at the moment we're having a little bit of trouble with our broadcasting, we're still able to put stuff up for social media, which is obviously our goal. Let's just kind of start carte blanche with your perspective. Over the last day and a half since this thing hit, how is the county response been going from your perspective?
Well, I would say that we are doing an excellent job in terms of, our number one goal yesterday was to make sure that we handled the health, life and safety of our citizens, making sure that we handled the rescues and then provided sheltering spaces for those that needed it. We have approximately 250 that are still currently in shelters. There were over 377 water rescues yesterday.
Wow.
So, making sure of that, making sure that we protected them. And I would just mention, too, that our partner agencies have been absolutely fantastic. So not only have we had our EMS and fire out there, we've also had the city fire, city police, the sheriff's office. We've had some National Guard. It has been an amazing effort, a coordinated effort with all these entities working together.
And this, when you say water rescues, the last big water event that we had, of course, was 2014, where you had boats and jet skis going over what is normally dry ground under 5-10 feet of water, rescuing people out of their attics and things like that. Are we talking about those kind of resources being used?
So there were some resources. There were some jet ski resources. Now, my understanding is the jet ski resources were not because of attics and things like that, but we did also have to use some boat rescues.
Okay.
We had the high water vehicles that we mentioned came in. We had six of those that we had requisitioned, and they came in. And then obviously the sheriff's office also has a high water vehicle. We also had the Coast Guard that also was sending some boats over from Mobile for assistance. So I'm not aware of, at this time, I'm not personally aware of anyone in their attic. However, I would not be surprised if there was someone in their attic that had to be rescued. There will be a flyover today by the Coast Guard and others just to make sure we have not somehow missed someone in one of the areas, maybe a remote area or maybe an area that someone hasn't been able to get to yet.
How much difference did the mitigation work that's been done in the last 6 years since the 2014 flood make in terms of processing this, once again, voluminous amount of water?
Mm-hmm. Well, so today our teams are out doing all the assessments of, like, not only facilities, but our roads, our drainage, those kind of assessments. We'll have DOT out doing their assessments. I think that's when we'll know a little bit better. But I can give one example. Forest Creek Apartments over mm-hmm. on the west side has notoriously flooded. It's a subsidized housing apartment complex, and that had notoriously flooded the bottom floor and, pretty high floods. Well,
right.
My understanding is yesterday the apartments did not flood, and part of that is because of the old quarry bridge being replaced, which meant that the does not backed up, into the swamp, for lack of a better term. And so that's one example of where I think some of the mitigation efforts absolutely worked. Now, I will say this, 30 to 35 inches of rain, I'm not sure what kind of mitigation strategy you would have to have, to protect against that. So we had the wind, obviously, and the wind shifted. We had a high tide. We had the water that had kind of piled up. And then we had water coming down from the north and then, the heavy rain. So there were a number of factors yesterday that were different than 2014. So that's why I would be a little hesitant to say that the mitigation strategies haven't worked. This was just a very specific event.
Yeah, I mean, if you put, you know, what did we call the previous one, a 500 year, and then, you know, this is based on rainfall, looks like it's going to push into that zone as well. I mean, it's, as you say, you can only build for so much, and then, you know, when it exceeds that, what do you do? Did I see also, I thought I saw a report that Bristol Park got hit again, which was, I thought originally, you know, the levee broke at IP, had all that water rushing down and blowing them out in a quick amount of time. Did they have, and we've, you know, the county's been buying up land and some of those destroyed houses to mitigate. What happened over there? Do you know?
I do not know exactly what happened. What I do know is that, in my understanding is this, the previous flood, people were up, you know, chest high. You know, there were, I do not believe the water got that high this time, but obviously any water in your home is awful.
Yeah.
And so I think that there obviously is going to be substantial damage to those homes. And yes, they did flood again.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you want to believe that if it happens once we take our measures and then certain things change, that it's, you know, it can't happen again. And I'm sure those people are like, are you kidding? I mean, it's just, it's infuriating.
Well,
I'm
and
sure.
They were in the area where they actually are in the area where there was about 3 inches of rain.
Yeah.
And so that's the other piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and when it's that much, as you just explained, you know, what exactly can you do? But again, I'm sure for those folks are like, really? You know, not twice again? Hey, Janice, we did talk to the governor just a little bit ago. You heard the clip when we were coming in, perhaps, where he was saying, you know, looking at, you know, who to blame exactly for the damage to Three Mile Bridge. At this point, I know we're still in sort of, you know, rescuing and saving life mode at this moment, but, you know, you guys have to think about everything, and you've got some great engineers working on your roads department. Do we have any kind of a plan at this moment what to expect going forward for, you know, travel between Gulf Breeze and Escambia County?
So we do have, it's my understanding, FDOT has brought their teams in to do the thorough investigation of all of our bridges. Not just I-10, but also Garson Bridge, Lillian, Theo Bars, and Bob Sykes. And so I think that once we know the extent of the, for lack of a better term, damage of all of those bridges, then we will be able to discuss a plan. You know, we are looking at different strategies. You know, before there was a ferry that went from Gulf Breeze to Pensacola. I think it was in the 80s whenever we had the bridge got bumped by the barge and it was out for 8 months. You know, I think there are a lot of places in this country, in the Northeast and in the Northwest, where people live on islands and they take ferries every day. And so we may have to get accustomed to that again for a little while. That's one opportunity that's out there. But I have every faith that we have the support of the governor and of our federal leaders to make sure that we, you know, do everything we can to get these projects expedited, the repair expedited, and hopefully, you know, be as little of an inconvenience to our residents as possible.
Last thing for you, Janice, and that is kind of a, look, that's a sobering thing to contemplate if you travel back and forth between the two cities, but you know, what's the better alternative? You know, something is better than nothing, right? And as you say, people do manage to make do even without their cars. You know, public transit on both ends, maybe. I mean, who knows? You know, there's possibilities. The last thing I wanted to ask you, Janice, is, you know, the sort of the floor is yours. If there's anything you want to tell people today, remind them of, encourage them of, anything that you want to make sure to get out to folks as they're listening to us.
Okay. So this is the thing. You know, we've tried to make sure that we've really expressed our heartfelt sympathy for anybody that's been impacted. You know, everybody may have been impacted to some extent, but I would just say that we need to really look to our neighbors and see what we can do to help them out. You know, these are the times, like I've said, whenever our community shows its best self. And so I just look forward to, you know, people finding ways to help each other because, you know, this is a catastrophic situation and we can't do it by ourselves. Obviously, our government's not going to be able to do it by ourselves. We're going to rely on federal and state partners, but that's the same way your neighborhoods are. You know, neighbors need to help neighbors. Churches need to help the people in their church. Families need to help families. This is a time to come together and to try and make sure that we all work on the recovery, you know, as a team. I do want to make sure that everyone's aware of the boil, you know, the boil water that has been put out by ECUA. And I did just want to mention this other thing. So we know that the Inverarity Island and, I mean, Perdido Key and Pensacola Beach mm-hmm. are barrier islands. And so we are working on setting up disaster recovery centers at those places or, you know, kind of command centers to help those citizens out. So that's, you know, we're putting a lot of things in place today that hopefully will be enacted in the next day, because we know that people are suffering. And so we're going to try and get the resources out to them.
Very good. Janice, I appreciate all of that. I know you have a busy schedule ahead today, and we look forward to the 10 o'clock and the 3 o'clock briefings. Janice Galluzzi, Escambia County Administrator. Janice, thank you so much for your work, and we appreciate how difficult your job is.
Thank you. Y'all take care today.
You too.